I invite you to turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Judges, chapter number 13. Judges chapter 13. I'd ask that you stand out of respect to the Word of God as you read just a few verses. We'll begin with verse number 2. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be called a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Father, we thank you for your word, and now as we consider just a few simple thoughts this morning, we ask your blessing upon us. Father, may your spirit move in our hearts, and may we be attentive to that small, still voice. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Yesterday afternoon, Jackie's granddaughter, Taylor Babs, had a birthday party, and Jackie's son is a distributor for nutritional supplements, and on his vehicle, they put advertisements, and I couldn't help but notice when I pulled into the parking lot that that advertisement was there because it was Arnold Schwarzenegger in his prime, and if you know who Arnold Schwarzenegger is, you know it's nothing but muscle with a little smiley face on it. That made me think about the strongest man in the world. I also, when I get on the internet from time to time, some of the sites I go to have advertising. One of the advertisements that have been there recently, I think it was more towards the end of January, where it was an Arnold Schwarzenegger strongman contest down in Columbus. And so when we think of strong men in the world, probably Arnold is one of those that we all think about, isn't he? Now, when we think about strong men in the Scriptures, what's the first person that comes to your mind? Samson. And thus, we find ourselves in the book of Judges. And Samson indeed did do some pretty significant things. The first thing we find out about Samson is what we read, at least that's the beginning of the section God has told us about. It concerns his supernatural birth. Not supernatural in the way that the Lord Jesus Christ was supernaturally born. Jesus Christ was born as none other was, supernaturally, born of a virgin, conceived of the Holy Spirit. There was no earthly father in the conception of Christ. We just learned about that in the Bible Institute the last time we were able to have class, about the miracle is not in the birth, but the miracle is in the conception with Christ. All right, and so when Samson was born, his birth was not supernatural in the conception. He was born of an earthly father and an earthly mother. But what makes his birth supernatural is the fact that his mother was barren. She was unable to have children. And the angel even admits that to her, as the Scriptures had told us leading up to that encounter with the angel. And so her and her husband Manoah had gone, we don't know how many years, without a child. When one day she's out working, doing her duties, and the angel appears and said, you're going to have a son. And just as the angel had predicted, Samson was born. When we read this passage we read, we find in verse number 5 that Samson was to be born a Nazarite, and that he was a Nazarite from the womb. Now, just as a side note, this passage is one of so many that teach the sanctity of life. Because we have a culture today that says it's not that important because when a woman is pregnant, it's not a baby until it's born. And there are some on the far side of that argument and say it's not a baby until it's at least a year old. And so they're advocating, and they're very prominent people in our society, college professors, that are advocating that if that child is not what you expected, then you can terminate its life at any time up to the year of one. They're advocating that today, as unbelievable as it sounds. But this verse right here tells us that God was concerned about Samson being a Nazarite. He was concerned about the fulfillment of the Nazarite vow when Samson was conceived in her womb. Part of the Nazarite vow was there was to have no consumption of any product of the grape. You couldn't eat a grape. You couldn't drink grape juice. You couldn't have anything that had anything to do with a grape. Now, we can go into reasons why, but that's irrelevant. The fact of the matter is, it was forbidden. And so when God is telling Manoah's wife, Samson's mother, that she was going to have this child conceived in her, and it was to be a Nazarite from the womb, that she was not allowed to have anything from the grapes. She had to live the Nazarite vow, at least in the dietary laws, the whole while she was pregnant. She probably had to begin before conception began. Because God thought life was important, and life begins at conception. This verse teaches that loudly and clearly. Well, that's the first thing we learn about Samson here in Judges chapter 13. As we move into chapter 14, Samson is now a young man, and as is normal, note that word normal, with young men, they notice young ladies. He didn't walk down to Timnath and see a shepherd out there, did he? He walked down and saw a young woman. And that's another side note that the Bible teaches very clearly. And she bats his eyelashes at him, and he begins to mount, and he says, "Man, I just got to have her. She's the most beautiful thing in the world." And so they, as they did at that time, Samson went back to his dad and his mom and said, "Go make the wedding plans." They basically had assigned, or the parents would work out the marital couples that you didn't marry for love back then. It was just how much the dad could get for his daughter. It was essentially what it boiled down to. Sell her off to the highest bidder. And so the parents go down to work the deal out. We pick it up in verse number 5. Then Samson went down and his father and mother to Timnath and came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And he rent him as he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And so the second thing we find out about Samson here, concerning his strength and his might, is that Samson, when he was going down to make the wedding arrangements, the wedding plans, this lion attacks him. Now, obviously, mom and dad were traveling separately. That tells you there's a problem right there in the life of Samson. We know Samson was full of problems. And we're going to talk about that as we go along this morning. But he wouldn't even travel with his mom and dad. Now, I really appreciate my kids. I like to think, at least, they pretend well if they don't, but they enjoy being around me. They enjoy doing things with me. Every once in a while, they get off where they want to be on their own, and I give them their space. But can you imagine traveling on a trip like this and not wanting to travel with mom and dad? But they're traveling apart from one another and separate from one another. And this lion attacks Samson. And we see this fit of strength that he has when the lion attacks and his life is in danger. He just takes that lion and he kills it with his bare hands. Now, the best lion story I've ever heard, Pastor Buckley shares it in the Bible Institute when we get to a certain lesson. And he talked about one time when he was at a zoo. I believe it was in Germany when he was in the military. And the lion had his, you know how they put those fences that kind of lean into the den where the lions are? Well, this lion had its head right up against that barbed wire. And so Pastor Buckley got the bright idea that he was going to go over, lean over, and take a picture, a very, very close-up picture of that lion. And he said that lion let out a roar. It scared him so badly that he couldn't even move. He said he was literally scared stiff. I couldn't imagine jumping over that little barrier fence and saying to that lion, "All right, lion, put up your dukes. Let's have at it." I couldn't imagine being attacked by a lion in the wild. What would you do? You know you can't outrun the thing. You know the thing's way stronger. So what do you? Well, that's what happened to Samson. Samson said, "I know what to do. I'll fight." And he kills a lion, a great example of his strength that I don't know that he fully understood at this point in his life. We're talking about the strongest man in the world. And so we see Samson here in chapter 14, verse number 5 through numbers 5 through 7. He killed a lion with his bare hands. Well, let's skip ahead a little bit in the chapter. Because as they made the wedding arrangements, they went down to go through the wedding ceremony, and they had this feast of 7 days, and he puts forth a riddle to 30 Philistine men that were there to help him celebrate his wedding. And the deal was that each one of them, if they couldn't solve the riddle after the end of the 7 days, they would then provide him each with some clothing. He said, well, if you figure out the riddle, I'll provide each of you with a set of clothing. And clothing was very expensive back then, very valuable, more so than today. And of course, we know what happened there because God tells us that they put a lot of pressure on Samson's wife and threatened her with death and her father with death if she didn't tell the riddle. And so she weasels it out of Samson, and they come back with the answer. So he has to provide 30 articles of clothing. Well, how's he going to do that? He doesn't have the resources to provide 30 changes of clothes. And so we pick it up in verse number 19. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them and took their spoil and gave change of garments unto them which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. And so here we see another example of Samson's strength. He killed 30 men by himself. Now, when I was in high school, I wrestled. And when the coach got mad at you because you in the previous meet did something really dumb and got beat or something along that line, he wanted to teach you a lesson. He had what he called a meat grinder. And what a meat grinder was is you got out in the middle of the mat, and they would send one other fellow from your team out to wrestle you for 1 minute. And at the 1 minute mark, that person you're wrestling would get off the mat, and they'd instantly send in a second one. And that second minute would get up, and they'd send in a third guy. And they just keep changing guys, but you're out there in the middle getting tireder and tireder and tireder. Well, I never made it to 30 before. I couldn't imagine trying to fight, and this is for the life, fighting for one's life, trying to kill one another. I couldn't imagine trying to do that against 30. I couldn't imagine trying to do it against one. But I know how weary you get fighting more than one individual. A great example of his strength killed 30. Well, let's follow along. Chapter 15. Now, God, as it said in the first passage we read, sent Samson to begin to deliver Israel from the Philistine captivity or Philistine oppression. And so we're going to see him fighting against the Philistines on numerous occasions. Here in chapter 15, verse number 8. And he smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter, and he went down and dwelt in the top of the rock Edom. And so here we have, he killed an undetermined, God didn't bother to tell us, number of Philistines. But he killed them hip and thigh with a great slaughter. And so we know there was a good number that he killed here, all by himself. Skipping down to chapter 15, verse 14. And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands, and he found a new jawbone of an ass, and he put forth his hand and took it and slew 1,000 men therewith. So here we find him killing 1,000 men all by himself with no other weapon than a jawbone of an ass. He didn't have a sword. He didn't have a spear. He didn't have bow and arrows. He didn't have anything except his jawbone of an ass. We can say basically barehanded he kills 1,000 men. Now that's a tremendous feat. That's a tremendous example of his strength. Well, let's move along. Chapter 16, we're talking about the strongest man in the world. Chapter 16, verse number 2. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson has come hither. And they compassed him in, that means they surrounded him, and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight and arose at midnight and took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders and carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. Did you ever take a door off the hinges before? Now, if you take an interior door off a house that's made recently, they're pretty light, they're hollow. But did you ever take an old exterior door off its hinges and try to maneuver that thing? Or a good, heavy steel security door. Those things are pretty heavy, aren't they? And you oftentimes don't like to do it yourself. You like to have a little help. Could you imagine taking the doors of a city, the gate of a city, and not just the door, but the door frame with it, and the lock that they had, the post that they would put in to keep the enemy from being able to break through the doors? Samson took it all and put it on his shoulder and carried it off. Now that's amazing in itself, but when you consider that he traveled several miles with it, makes it even more amazing. And then when you consider that when he got a couple miles away and he had these on his shoulder the whole way carrying them, not having to stop to catch his breath, not having to stop to get a little help, but when he got the several miles with these gates and the frame of the door on his shoulders, he then climbed up the hill with it. Now, I've climbed up some hills that are pretty steep, and no, it's not an easy thing to do with nothing on my back. Then I was in Boy Scouts, climbing with a little backpack on my back and thinking, man, I wish I didn't have this backpack. I couldn't imagine city gates with the frame and the post all on my back and climbing up a hill. A great example of Samson's strength. Who's the strongest man in the world? And then, at the end of chapter 16, we find Samson's death. Verse 28. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once. O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand, and of the other with his left. And Samson said, Let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might. And the house fell upon the lords, and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. And so again we see that he killed an undetermined number of people. We just know it was more than he had ever slain in all his life put together. All in one shot, because he reached out, grabbed the support of the house, the support post, and pulled them in so that the house collapsed on all those people and essentially committed suicide and killed everyone with them. A great feat of strength. A great example of the strength Samson possessed. And again, I go back to the question, who is the strongest person in the world, or who's the strongest person in the Bible? And I would like to suggest to you this morning, it is not Samson. And all that Samson did, and all of his strength, and all of his feats, Samson was a weakling. Now, we read about Samson avenging his eyes. We understand the story, if you know what happened there in Samson's life, that he got mixed up in a relationship that led him astray with Delilah. It's so important who we have as our friends, and who we intermingle with, and the relationships, and where those relationships go. You see, Delilah was playing him for everything he had. He thought she truly cared about him, and he was so wrong. As soon as the Philistine lords came and bribed her to give away his strength, she took it immediately. Didn't have to think about it or hesitate. Said, I'll sell him out. I can finally get rid of this guy. He doesn't have much more to give me anyway, so I might as well get what I can. And he played and toyed with her when she sought for the source of his strength. He told her one thing and it wasn't. He told her another and it wasn't. He finally got closer and closer, playing with sin, playing with temptation. God was giving him red flags, giving him warnings that he was in over his head and that he was being tempted. He was about to fall, and he refused to listen to the warning signs. He refused to heed the red flags. And before you know it, he tells her the truth. She tells the Philistines, they come and capture him. And he didn't even know his strength was gone. He was a weak man. Samson the weak. They poked out his eyes and
When he came to this house, we didn't have time to read all the passages of Scripture there of what happened in his life, but he was led by a little child. They were making fun of him, making a mockery of him. Say, this is the once powerful, mighty Samson. Look at our little boy of a Philistine can lead him around and control him. He was weak because of sin. And that sin entered his life because of his relationships. You see, he didn't have wisdom. He didn't have spirituality. He didn't live a biblical life. To him, living was all about me, me, me. What can I get? What can I enjoy? What pleasure is there out for me today? It was never about what can I do to serve God? What can I do to help others? What can I do that will please my Savior? But in stark contrast to Samson, as a little boy, whose dad didn't think much of him, so I got a few sheep. You can go take care of the sheep. You got to earn your keep around the house. One day the prophet Samuel knocked on this man's door. His name was Jesse. He said, Jesse, God sent me to your house. One of your boys is the future king and I've come to anoint him. And Jesse says, well, you know, I'm not surprised by that. I've got some fine strapping young men that God has blessed me with. So out comes the oldest, and Samson's heart leaps for joy, and Samuel's heart leaps for joy and says, this is the man. And God says, oh no, Samuel, don't look on the outward appearance, I look on the heart. And that's the way we as men do. I mean, that picture of Arnold Schwarzenegger on the side of that vehicle, he was in his prime. His Arnold must have been about that big around. How do you ever find shirts is what I wonder. No wonder he's always shown without a shirt on. Probably couldn't buy any. So Jesse brings out his boys one after another, and God says, no, 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 no. And this little boy taking care of the sheep was so little thought of, so little regarded, that Dad just forgot about him. And Samuel had to ask Jesse, don't you have another son? God sent me specifically to anoint your son, and he's told me specifically it's none of these boys. And as an afterthought, Jesse says, oh yeah, I forgot. I got this little boy out back watching the sheep. He's not any good for anything. Samuel says, bring him in. As soon as Samuel set his eyes on David, God says, that's the man. A little bit after this, the Philistines had attacked Israel. And you know all this history. The Philistines sent out their champion, a giant by the name of Goliath, stood nearly 10 feet tall. And he was a seasoned warrior. And he said to the Israelites, there's no need to have this big battle, a lot of bloodshed, and a lot of life lost. So there's no sense to that. He says, I'll fight for the Philistines and you send out your best to fight against me. If I win, you serve us. If you win, we'll serve you. It's that simple. Only one person has to die today. There's no sense everybody risking their lives. Sounded reasonable. But there wasn't a single Jewish soldier that was willing to go fight. That's a sorry state of affairs, isn't it? Because we're wondering, who is the strongest man in the world? It wasn't Samson. Samson was weak because of sin. He sacrificed the strength that should have been his, the strength that he exhibited time after time after time in his life. And here's King Saul, who is head and shoulders above all the rest. He should have put on his armor that he had. He should have taken his sword in his hand, and he should have gone out and met Goliath. He was a logical choice, but Saul said, not me. I'm not going to lose my life. That guy's an animal. Have you looked at him? If it wasn't Saul, it should have at least been Abner, the general of his host, the fellow who kept the rest of the army in line, the fellow who is the most seasoned, the most experienced, the most skilled soldier. He should have gone out and said, well, King, we can't risk your life. I'll go and I'll lead our army to victory. But Abner said, there ain't no way. Have you seen that guy? It wasn't a single Israelite who would go fight that giant. But back in Bethlehem, there was a little boy that no one thought much of. who got sent by his dad on an errand to his brothers in the army. And as all little boys are curious, David was curious as well. And David went out and see what was going on and say hi to his brothers, and he heard what was happening. He saw the Philistine down there, and his blood began to boil when that giant began to curse God. He said, "I'm not standing for that, fellas. I'll go fight that giant." His brothers rebuked him, said, "There ain't no way. You're just a little boy." But someone else heard it, and they took him into King Saul, and King Saul was very skeptical. And King Saul said, "Here, if you got to do it, go ahead and use my armor." David tried it on and said, "This don't fit." So he went out there with a little sling, some 5 stones, and a staff. That's all he needed. That was more than he needed, wasn't it? Did you read about him using the staff? Did you read about him using more than 1 stone? That's all he needed was a sling and a stone. Because David went with God. And that was the difference between Samson and with David. David relied on God. Samson didn't. Samson went in his own strength. David relied on the Lord. And David fought in the name of the Lord. And so David won the victory, and Samson lost his life. And so when I asked myself, who is the strongest man in the Bible, I said the strongest man were men like David. Because the strength didn't rely on a man. Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." And there's our secret. When we come in the name of the Lord, and if we fight in the power of His Spirit, we'll fight victoriously. When we depend on God, there's nothing that we can't do. What has God put you in? What battle are you facing today? If you try to face it in your own strength, you'll surely fail. If you try to face it in your own wisdom, you'll surely be disappointed. But if you come in the name of the Lord, following the word of the Lord, you'll surely be victorious. What place does this book have in your life? What is it you're facing? God has the answer. Whatever it is you're facing, God has addressed it in the Bible. I'll guarantee you that. I'll stake my life on it. That whatever it is you're facing, God has addressed it. And He will give you the way out if you'll follow. Are you here today and you're not sure if you're on your way to heaven or if you're on your way to hell? You just don't know, but you'd like to. God has addressed that right here in this book. We'd love to show you. We're going to have a word of prayer in just a moment. We're going to give you an opportunity and the invitation to come to the front. What is it you're facing that you need God's help with? God is faithful. And if you'll come in His name, He'll give you the victory. Father, we thank You for Your word. Father, we know there's much in our world today that concerns us. Many trials and difficulties that we face just as a part of life. And Father, it's so tempting to try to fight in our own strength or our own wisdom. Father, so often faith is a difficult thing because so often faith runs contrary to our human logic. And so, Father, I do pray for each of us in the room this morning as we consider who's the strongest individual in the world, and we realize through these two examples we saw this morning, the strongest person in the world is a person who's living for You and the person living by faith. Father, there's no harm that can come to us, no danger unfaceable as we live by faith. And so, Father, I do pray as we have the invitation, Father, if there's a need in a life today, to just simply leave the burdens and the cares and the trials, the difficulties on the altar, Father, they would respond. And Father, for even one here uncertain of their eternal destiny, Father, that they would come and allow us to share with them out of Your word how they can be 100% for certain they're on the way to heaven. We'll thank You for what You'll do now in Jesus' name. Amen.